Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We want to look today to Hebrews 8, verse 5, at the subject we're calling God's Unalterable Patterns. And with the truth, the gospel of God's Word as our only guide, we can find things that are unalterable patterns that are very important lessons for us. The writer of Hebrews said regarding Moses and his erection of the tabernacle, "See, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mountain." We can also find that reference in Exodus 25, verse 40. So from this, we're able to see what God calls a binding pattern. When he lays down certain specifics and then says, "See that you build it according to the pattern," that's the end of the matter. It must not be altered or changed at any point by man. When God gives a binding pattern, man should have no trouble knowing what that is. Now, the first is that ark found in Genesis 6, verse 14 through verse 16. Here, God lays down an unalterable pattern or blueprint. He said to Noah, "Make thee an ark." Now, if it had stopped right there, Noah could have done as he pleased. But God did not stop there. He gave him the exact specifications for this ark. First, it was to be made of gopher wood. Nothing else would do. Number two, it had to have rooms in it. Number three, he said, "You shall pitch it within and without with pitch." That was to waterproof it. And then number four, God's pattern said, "It shall be 300 cubits, or about 450 feet long, 50 cubits, or 75 feet wide, 30 cubits, or 45 feet high." And number five, in God's pattern, "A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit, about 18 inches, shalt thou finish it above." And number six, "The door of the ark shalt thou make it, set it in the side." And then number seven, "With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." So God said, "Make thee an ark." And here's the pattern. This is a bound pattern, Genesis 6, 14. And Noah did not dare change or alter one specification that was given him. If he had changed it in one particular, it would have ceased to be the pattern given to him by the Lord. And it would have become his own pattern, or a mutilated pattern. He did not give him the permissible privilege of building some three or four different kinds of arks, then taking the one best suited for the occasion. Nor did he permit him to take some three or four parts from each of the arcs and make a pattern out of those different ones, and then for all generations to follow. If Noah had built three or four arcs, all differing one from the other, he could not have stood off and said, "Look, this is the pattern." That would have been confusion. God gave the pattern for one ark, and that pattern was bound. It could not be changed in one particular. And good friends, we must learn that God's pattern cannot be altered. They are unalterable patterns. And how encouraging to read Genesis 6:22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him." Well, our second pattern we shall study is that of the tabernacle, about which we read in the beginning from Hebrews 8, verse 5. Now, in Exodus 25, verse 9, God says, "According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." And verse 40 he said, "Which was showed thee in the mountain." Now here's a binding pattern. Not one thing in it can be changed without God's wrath being visited upon the one who does it. Now in the construction of this tabernacle, this tent-like structure that was to be a house of God, a place of worship, there was an outer court. We learn in Exodus 27:18 that outer court was 100 cubits, or about 150 feet long, about 75 feet wide, and about 7.5 feet high. Now these dimensions could not be altered by Moses. Just inside this outer court, there was the altar of sacrifice. Then there was the laver, or the basin of water, at which the priest washed. Now Moses could not change one item of this without disobeying God. It was by Moses an unalterable pattern. Then we have the tabernacle proper within the outer court. God gave the blueprints on this. It was to be 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 15 feet high. It was to be divided into two sections, the first being the holy place, the second being the most holy, or the sometimes called the Holy of Holies. Now, in this holy place, we find the showbread, the candlesticks, and just in front of and before you entered into the most holy place was the altar of incense. Dividing the two places, the holy from the most holy place, was a curtain. Inside the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant. Many other things were given in regards to this pattern, but we don't have time to discuss all of those this afternoon. The lesson I want you to see is that this pattern of God is this. You can't change God's blueprint. We're not permitted to change God's pattern. We're not at liberty to change them to suit ourselves by our own ideas. God's patterns are unchangeable until He gives the orders to change. God did not give Moses some three or four different ways of building the outer court, and then when that was finished, say to Moses, well, now you just use your own judgment in building the holy place and the most holy. God would have been forced to tell him which of the four, if he had built four, that he wanted. But God had given a pattern, had given a blueprint, and it was unalterable. When he gave the dimensions and the fixtures of the tabernacle proper, Moses could not leave out the showbread table. He couldn't leave out the candlesticks. He couldn't leave out anything. God had told him how many prayers of the saints, had told him that he dare not move the altar of incense, which represents the prayers of the saints. And these are God's unalterable patterns. We need to learn that when a thing becomes a pattern, a blueprint, that we need to follow those instructions. Once we've learned what the pattern is, we need to follow it. But because men do not follow God's word and God's instructions, there's much religious confusion in our land today. When God issues a command, we're not at liberty to change it. We can violate it by refusing to do it. But when God issues a command, you can't change it. We're to follow His instructions. It's a binding pattern. And once you establish a thing as a binding pattern, commanded of God, that should be the end of the matter. Man has only one obligation, and that is to do it, or to face the consequences. Now, God did not say, build some sort of tabernacle, or just build some place of worship. But He said, Moses, here's a pattern, and I want you to follow the pattern that's given you that was up on the mountain. Friends, listening today, you know what I mean when I say God did not give Noah a half dozen methods of building the ark. Then say to him, well, you just follow your own judgment. Whatever feels good, you can do it. Whatever seems right, or whatever a few counselors might advise you on. Nor did he give Moses many methods or ways for building the tabernacle and then give Moses the permission to just do what he wanted to. When God lays down a binding pattern for all generations in a certain dispensation, He does not confuse them by placing before them a dozen methods or ways and then say to them, well, this is the pattern. He is specific. He's direct, as in the matter of the ark and in the tabernacle. Well, now, there's another pattern I wish to discuss, and that is, there's a pattern regarding the organization of the church. Now, here's a most vital subject. Many think that God did not give us a binding pattern regarding the organization of the church. But this pattern is as plain as the other two that we've considered. And since they claim there is no binding pattern for church organization, the result is that we have all kinds of human organizations trying to replace the pattern of organization that was a divine one given by the Lord. Because of this idea, we have councils, we have synods, we have presbyteries, we have conventions, conferences, societies of all kinds and all sorts. If God had given no organization or no binding organization and has given us our choice to build what we please, then all of those would be right. But now, if God has given us the pattern, we dare not violate and alter from that pattern. Now, in the church of our Lord, we have Christ as the builder, Matthew 16:18. He said, I will build my church. No one else could and have the privilege of building a church, and it be the Lord's church. Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 22 and verse 23, that speaking of Christ, he is the head over all things to the church, which is his body. Thus, in the organization of the church, Christ is the head. Where is there room for a human head, for a human president, for a human to be in charge of a church? He has never surrendered his position of rulership to any man on earth. This is why churches of Christ do not have an earthly head directing their affairs, for the Lord did not place it in his binding pattern. Now, under Christ, we have the apostles as ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. They have been given power to reveal his will to man. And next, we have elders in every congregation as they meet the qualifications laid down by Paul in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Paul said in Titus 1, verse 5, For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. These elders are called bishops in verse 7. They are also known as pastors, as shepherds, as overseers. And in the qualifications given, they are to be faithful men, married men, having believing children, and meet the other qualifications that are given in 1 Timothy 3. And in the organization, under the elders, there are a special class of servants known as deacons. Then there's evangelists and every member fulfilling his or her obligation and his or her ability using that in the church of our Lord. The Christ is the head. And all other organizations that are different from this organization given in the Word of God is something different to the pattern. God has given us a pattern. And as he said to Moses in Hebrews 8, See thou that thou do all things according to the pattern. God has a pattern for our salvation. That is, man is to hear, to believe, to repent, to confess, to be buried with Christ in baptism, to have his sins washed away, to be faithful in his service to the church. And if he has become unfaithful, his pattern for an erring child of God is to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And God is faithful and just, will forgive his sins.